Let's all give glory to our Lord Jesus. He alone is worthy of all praise and honor and worship. Amen. Let's give him a good clap offering. Yeah. Happy Easter, everyone. I'm really thankful to Pastor Eliafi and Fia, Pastor Fia, and the church here for having us. It's really an honor to be here. Thank you, Pastor Ben. Our God is an amazing God. He's just so amazing. Shall we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, we thank you, Lord. You are so amazing, Lord. Thank you, Father. You are just so amazing. There's nothing worth more that will ever compare. You're a living hope. Your presence, sense, Lord. And Holy Spirit, you are well. Sing to him. Atmosphere, your glory, God, is what our heart longs for to be. By your presence, Lord, and holy, sing to him. Just welcome him. Atmosphere. I want to hear your voice. Our hearts long for to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Jesus. Father, we thank you that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Because you are a good God. You're an amazing God, Lord. And Lord, we can come, Lord, before you with the help of the Holy Spirit who flows in and through us. And Lord Jesus, you have come on this earth. You have died and you have resurrected, Lord. That, Lord, you have come so that you can also send us the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, we could flow with the Holy Spirit, that we could be one with the Father. And Lord, we ask you this day, open our ears that we may hear. Open our understanding that we may understand. Lord, show us, Lord, your word and help us, Lord, to walk in it. We give you thanks, Master, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, amen. Please, if you can, turn with me to the book of Matthew and chapter 27. We will take on from the time that Jesus died on the cross. I know today is not Good Friday, but we have to take on from that place. Because there's something so powerful that happened in Matthew 27. And going on to the time when Jesus actually died, and verse 50, it says that Jesus cried and out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Jesus gave himself up. Right? He died on the cross. And then it says in verse 51, and the veil of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks split. And verse 52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. But then there's a pause there. It didn't raise, the bodies of the saints were not raised immediately. If you go with me to the next verse, it says, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection. That means to say, When the earthquake, the rock split, the graves were open, there was a pause there because Jesus went down and Jesus had to do something amazing. He has to free the captives. He has to free those who were held captive by the powers of darkness. I mean, when the saints died before the old covenant, they didn't straight to go to heaven. They were in a place called paradise. Jesus came and remember Abraham's bosom? So Jesus came and freed them and brought them back. And that's why you see on Resurrection Day, it's not that Jesus alone was resurrected, but the saints were resurrected. Let's carry on reading that verse. You continue reading that verse. And it says here something so amazing. They went into the city and appeared to many. It's not only Jesus appeared, my friends, the saints in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, Elijah has gone up, right? You remember? I purposely brought Elijah so that you could catch him. But Abraham and all the other saints of the old had died, am I right? And the Bible tells us they rose up. They got resurrected together with Jesus and they went and appeared to many in the city. It must have been a real awesome time, mind-boggling time. It was just amazing what was happening. Now, I happen to mix with people of other faith and I do have a little bit of tic-tac and in inverted commas, debate with them, exchange of thoughts. So one of them says, actually, Jesus was not the first to be resurrected. And in a way, he was right. If we see resurrection in the term of human terms, he says, Jesus was not the first to be resurrected. Actually, he said, do you know that in the Old Testament, there are people who got resurrected? Do you know anyone? The Shunammite woman's son. Jesus raised up many people from the dead. So how could we say that Jesus was the first? I want to say to you, Jesus' resurrection was very different. I'm going to show you two scriptures to answer that question. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians in chapter 2 and in verse 15. I'll take on before verse 15. I'll go on to verse 8. See, the Bible tells us in the last days there's a lot of deception that's going to happen. There are people who are going to come and give false ideas and false deception. That's why we need to know the Bible. We need to know the Word of God. Christianity is not a religion. It's a walk with God. It's a relationship with God. So we find here in the book of Colossians in chapter 2, I'll read from verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We must understand when Jesus came on this earth, he was not man, he was God who walk on this earth as man. The Bible also says in the book of Galatians that Jesus left the glory of God in heaven. That's why he walked on earth as God, his God, as man. But he didn't have the glory to shield him from the sufferings that we go through. He had suffered like all of us suffered. That's why he was hungry. That's why in the ship, he actually was so tired, he slept. Jesus was hungry, Jesus was tired, Jesus needed food to eat, Jesus wanted to pluck the figs from the fig tree to eat in Mark 11 because he was hungry. The Bible shows him the human nature. Then you also find in Matthew in chapter 4, when the devil tempted him, he was tired, he was hungry. The devil didn't tempt him because he was strong and he was powerful and so powerful that he could turn the rock to bread, and you know, he has the strength in him. My friends, he was so hungry, he was so tired, and though he could change, he could actually want to eat every rock. Are you with me? And serpent came, Satan came to tempt him. Every single time. But he learned to overcome. He relied on the Father. Then another question arises. If Jesus is God, why should he rely on the Father? If he is God, he can do. Because he came on the earth as a man. He is God. He left his glory, stripped himself of all his glory, humbled himself, and came as a man, walked as a man, so that you and I could identify. You and I could learn how to call upon the Father. The Bible tells us in John in chapter 1. Sorry, media, some scriptures I just keep on giving. In John in chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning is the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1 and verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You continue reading, it begins to tell us that Jesus came to declare the Father to us. That's the one reason Jesus came, to connect us back to the Father. My friends, we could be of different nationalities, different faiths, and different looks different. But I tell you what, we all got one Father. That's why you are my sister, you are my brother. That's why you're not far away from me, because we're all connected. We all look different because our God is a God of variety. Amen? He's not dead, he's alive. He's a God of variety. He specializes in your case and my case. And I want to tell you something. We all may look different. We may have different color hair, eyes, and legs, and whatever it is, height and whatever it is. I'm short, so I have to wear heels to go up high tall. And the tall will have to bend their heads down, you know, Ben, Pastor Ben. So, you know, we all have got different things in us. But the amazing part of us is we all connected. Though we look different, we all go through the same different challenges in life. Amen. When you are young, you go through one challenge. No child is born perfect. There was sin found in every one of us. Jesus came because nothing could take away the sin nature. Jesus came not to just cover your sin, like the Old Testament. He came to remove the stench of sin. That's why we die, because the wages of sin is death. But this powerful thing that happened, look at Colossians in chapter 2. It goes on to say, and let's take on from verse 11. In him you were also circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Christ came, we have a new kind of circumcision. Do you know, it's something so different. This resurrection is so different. This power of this resurrection of Jesus, the great power that produced, is to remove the stench of sin. We become circumcised, not with doing the normal circumcision, but the circumcision of Christ. He comes and circumcises our hearts and makes us a brand new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And then it goes on to say in verse 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you are raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And then goes on in verse 13, and you being dead in your trespasses and your uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Look at verse 14. We can all read it together in verse 14. Having wiped out, can you help me to read? Having wiped out the handwriting which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed to the cross. Continue reading, verse 15. Having disarmed He triumphed over everything. Do you know when Jesus died on the cross, he went down, he saved the saints, he saved anyone who would call upon him, who believed, who was looking for the time of Jesus coming. People of the past, and they were looking forward for Jesus coming. He came to free them all up. And these saints, you see them risen up together with Jesus on Resurrection Day. Amen. It's so powerful. And what is so powerful about this resurrection? Why is it different from every other resurrection? Come with me to Luke in chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 shows the power of this resurrection. The power of this resurrection was that when Jesus raised up from the dead, he came, he appeared to his disciples, and he asked his disciples, you can put up the scripture, Luke 24. And Jesus came to his disciples and told his disciples, you know, why are you so troubled? And then he asked them to feel his hands. Remember, this was before he met the two disciples on the way, everything, right? So the disciples were actually very troubled. They can't believe that Jesus is actually resurrected. Maybe it's a spirit. You know what I'm talking about? You have ghosts, you have spirit, maybe it's a spirit. But Jesus told them, behold, my hands and my feet, and it is I myself. Handle me and see, for spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. So Jesus is saying, Jesus is showing us this resurrection is different. It's not a person die and just a spirit. It's a whole body is being transformed. It's a powerful body. That's why when Jesus died and he was laid in the tomb, he was resurrected. His whole body is not just a spirit. His whole body was resurrected. Are you following me? So when they saw him, and you know, Jesus walked through walls. If you read the Gospels, you find that he walked through walls. This body was so powerful, it could go through walls. Not only that, they cooked him food. If you continue reading that they had a broil fish, he said he was any food. So they gave him food. Imagine Jesus ate that food. It's an amazing thing. It's a different kind of resurrection. And my friends, I'm saying something. I mean, you can't even imagine what I'm going to say, but it's really powerful, I'm going to tell you, because this resurrection is not, you don't need to die to go into this resurrection, because the Bible talks about the coming of the Lord when the trumpet would sound and our bodies will be transformed. I believe we will have that same kind of body that is so powerful. Are you following me? Are you with me? So what do we do to come to a place of having that transformed, resurrected body like Jesus has? We need to have our eyes focused on the things that God is talking to us. We need to cling on to the Lord. We need to be binded together with Jesus. I'm telling you, today is a time when distraction happens everywhere. Very easy to be distracted. But my friends, we start to have one focus. We need to know who our Father is. We need to start walking with our Father. You're not an orphan. Jesus didn't make us orphans. He made us to have a relationship, a connection with the Father. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about a walk with God. And when the power of this resurrection is the body that we have now. Though we live in this flesh, we have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live, I live in the flesh, am I right? But it's for the glory of God. I'm telling you, this body is no more normal. When you have an idea of that, we will start walking to a place where sin has got no hold of us, where sickness will have no hold of us. Are you following me? Generation curse will not come over us. Are you with me? If you have that understanding of the power of Jesus' resurrection on the cross, it's not in vain, my friends. It's not in vain. It's not just a show. It happened on the cross that you and I could be connected. Jesus' prayer in John 17 was, Father, that they may be one. as we are one. When we all are one with the Father, excuse me, I just need to drink some water. You have mints here as well. So cool, but I can't put mints and talk. So, when we all are one with the Father, we begin to walk with the Father. We begin to see things as the Father would want us to see. Jesus' resurrection on the cross was a very powerful thing. It broke Satan's hold on us. You don't need to be sick, my friends. You don't need to be sick. You don't need to be trampled and be under the clutches of any addiction, my friends. You don't need to come under the power of any other. Because all power and all authority has been given to Jesus. It has all been given to Jesus. Come back to Colossians and chapter 2. No, before Colossians, let's just take on to Corinthians. Are you enjoying this? And it's just amazing because when you start reading the scriptures and God start opening your eyes and start showing you how powerful the word of the Lord is and what he's trying to tell us, it's just mind-boggling. Corinthians in chapter 15. Now, many of us would use this to wait for rapture to come. I want to say something to you. Don't sit down and wait for rapture to come. That's not God's command. God asks us to occupy till he comes. He wants us to be fruitful till he comes. When he comes, he wants to make sure the trees are bearing fruits. Are you with me? He wants to make sure that you are a fruit-bearing tree. What happens if you're not a fruit-bearing tree? Oh, my goodness. Don't ever be a non-fruit-bearing tree. There's so much for us to do. And I think the mistake of Christians today is that we want to be politically correct. I didn't see Jesus being politically correct. He was never. Oh, but, you know, I don't want to hurt people's feelings. Of course, God gives us his wisdom. Don't just go around fighting with everybody else. But what God wants us to do is be bold. If you are not convinced who Jesus is, why Jesus came, and the resurrection of Jesus, the power of it, how could you sell that product? You cannot sell any product that you're not convinced with. Many years ago, when I was just after school, I was free for a month or so. So I decided to join this company that they were selling a product. But I didn't believe in the product. The product was about English language. But I didn't believe in the way they were doing it. I couldn't connect with the way they were doing running it. But because I was free, I was available for a job. Are you with me? So I have to sell this product. It was very hard for me to sell a product I don't believe in. Now, when people look at you, if you want to bring Christ to them and you don't believe and don't have a conviction of who Jesus is and the power of his resurrection and they don't walk with, how could they believe because you don't believe? Sometimes we do it because it's in the rhythm. You know what I mean? Parents do it, grandparents do it. But it's because we have a walk with God. When we look at the resurrection of Christ, Jesus didn't die and be resurrected for no reason. He was resurrected so that every one of us who believe in him will start walking with him, will start experiencing the power of God. The power of darkness cannot come near because we are in a beautiful, transformed body. I want to say something. How good, if you're waiting for rapture, many of you are going to be shocked and not do anything. Wait for rapture. You're going to be shocked. You know why? The Bible talks about this corruptible body being transformed. Let's look at it. Verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then it shall be brought to pass that saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? But the corruption has to put on incorruption. Our bodies go through a transformation. I pose to you a question. What brings that transformation? Who is the one who is involved in bringing that transformation? I can't hear you. Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to empower you to transform you from one position to another. In a split second, in a twinkling of an eye, it has to happen. If you're not walking with the Holy Spirit, how could the transformation happen? So we need to start walking with the Holy Spirit every day of our lives. Can you just lift up your hands and say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. I welcome you into my life. I welcome you to transform my mind. Transform my words. Transform my body. Transform my emotions. That I may know you, God. And know you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Every day we call upon the Lord and God begins to cause a transformation to happen. Now, can you then fall into sin? Can you then fall into sickness? Can you then, I want to say, you know, we look at it as human terms, but we look at it in the Christ according to the word. We are being renewed by the we are being transformed by the renewing of God's word. The Bible tells us in Romans 12 and in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, not dead sacrifice, as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is good, perfect, acceptable within the eyes of God. Am I right? So we need to start walking with presenting ourselves before God daily, because we have got a hope. The hope is a power of God's resurrection. We got something that we are hoping for. If you got no hope, you got no future. We got a hope that we can look onto. Even when you partake of the Holy Communion that you did on Good Friday's Day, you know, when you partake of it, you look forward to his soon return. You look forward that something is going to happen. We got a hope. Our God is not dead. Our God is alive. He is not dead. He is not found in the tomb. He is alive. And Jesus is God. Amen. And when we are connected with him, the life of Jesus flows through us. Can I hear a good amen? So if you have illness in your body, you can tell the illness, illness, you are trespassing in God's body. I'm God's property. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. You cannot trespass in this property of God. Are you with me? How many of you have got properties? I mean, you got a house. Would you let someone come, a thief come and steal your stuff away? Would you let somebody come and rob your sheep, your lamb, whatever, your cows away? You wouldn't. Why? That's your property. You got a whole huge sign saying, no trespassing, private property. Am I right? We are God's property. We are God's property. Satan, you cannot bring sin in our lives. You cannot bring sickness into our lives. We got to start rising up. It's time the paradigm change. It's time the children of God change from looking to a preacher, looking to one man of God to bring the healing, to bring the miracles. Come on. We look up to Jesus. Come on. We open our mouth and declare with our mouth. Why? You are kings and priests. If all authority and all power is given to Jesus, and we are together with Jesus, heirs and joint heirs with Jesus, we carry that authority in us. Oh, you know, it's very prideful to say that. You know, we must learn to be humble. But the Bible says you are kings and priests. Come on. I mean, the Bible has got no problem with gender. They didn't say queen, you know, by the way. They say king. So although I'm a lady, I'll say I'm a king. You're offended with that? We are kings and we are priests before God. Amen? We are kings and priests. What does kings do? They take authority. My friends, it's time we take authority over every wild demonic spirit that tries to raise ugly head over our family, over our children, over our country, over our churches. Come on, we got to rise up. This is a time of resurrection. A time of resurrection is a time of power, is a time of authority. We cannot say, oh God, why don't you do it? He has already done it. It's our turn. It's yours. Say it's my turn. Say it's my turn. And if sickness comes and raises ugly head, you can tell your body. See, you are three parts. You are a spirit being. You have intellect. You have a soul. You have a mind. You live in a physical body. Your physical body is a house that you stay in. All right? The real you is is a being. You are living in a physical body's house. So if your house is wrecked, you can look at your house and say, in Jesus' name, I command you, be whole in Jesus' name. If you believe, you'll have it. Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 23, verse 24. You know what it says in Mark 11, verse 23, verse 24? It says, whatever you say with your mouth, you believe you have it. You don't have any doubt in your heart. If you say to the mountain, be cast into the ocean, it will be done as you say. My friends, the power of God rests in your mouth. Say in my mouth. Say in my mouth. Be careful what you say. Don't say rubbish. Say what the word of God says. Amen. Are you with me? I don't have time to go through this, but one of the miracles I learned, I just give you just a gist of it. You know, in our 2 Kings in chapter 4, when I learned about the Shunammite woman and how she refused to even tell her husband that the child has died, she keeps saying, it is well, it is well, it is well. If you know what I'm talking about, go back and read 2 Kings chapter 4. You know, one thing the Lord touched my heart, that the old covenant saints understood the power of words that come out of their mouth. They didn't have written agreement. Whatever they bless with their mouth is done. You know, when Jacob blessed his sons, it's done. When Isaac blessed the two sons, it's done. When Isaac blessed Jacob, Esau couldn't get Isaac's blessing because that blessing is already sealed. The words, it was not written agreement. And the Lord touched my heart. It's time for us to understand the power that God has invested in us in the words that we say. May we not sin with our mouth. May we start using our words accurately. The Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Are you with me? What challenges are you facing? Don't be a victim. God, Jesus won the victory on the cross. He won it all. He did a great victory so that you can be victors, not victims. Jesus didn't make us victims. Christians are not victims. We are victors in Christ. Can I hear a good amen from you? You need God to touch you. Musicians, come to the front, please. If you need God to touch you in your area of your illness, I don't know what illness you have or challenges that you may face in your own families, in your own situations, I pray that you will rise up and start taking authority right where you are, right in that circle, in that place. Start speaking. Start speaking, believing. You know you can speak and not believe? You know how do you know you speak and not believe? After you pray, you go out, you say the direct opposite. But we continue speaking. Remember I shared with you 2 Kings 4? My son, who was dead in my womb, in a state of decay, came back alive because I held on to that scriptures the Lord showed me in 2 Kings 4. Refused to say negative, continually to say it is well. It is well. It is well. And God begins to do a miracle. I want to ask you, my friends, are you continually going to be a victim of circumstances? You are not a victim. Jesus' resurrection made you a victor, made you a winner. Shall we stand on our feet? There is such power in the resurrection of Jesus. Shall we look into the resurrection of Jesus for a while? Let's look at the power that was transmitted. And Jesus wants us to have that same power, that same authority. He wants us to walk in that glory. He doesn't want us to walk defeated. Look at me. Don't look at those girls. You've seen them every time. I want you to pay attention. It's a very crucial moment. I want you to start looking to your situation. Many times you feel your hands are hanging down. You feel so defeated. You feel you're a victim of circumstances. You're not a victim, my friends. God's going to make you a victor. He's going to give you such spiritual muscles. It's so amazing. Look into your, close your eyes for a minute. Just look into the circumstances. See God in your circumstances. There's one thing a king will do. A king will make declaration. A king is no king who can't take authority. A king will take authority. A king will make declaration. Before we start making declaration, we're going to sing Holy Spirit. Because we want to let the Holy Spirit come and just bathe our whole emotions, our mind. That we begin to fine-tune ourselves and we pray as the Holy Spirit will lead us to pray. Are you with me? Thank you, Jesus.